Everything nobody told you to have an awesome rest of your life.
This podcast is brought to you by smallbusinesstogrow.com, the website by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Why reinvent the wheel? Start growing your business with best practices from industry-leading small business owners, executives, and entrepreneurs. Take their wheel, put it to work in your business, and start growing today. Smallbusinesstogrow.com to learn more.
Whatever your age currently is, it's now up to you. The responsibility is yours for what does or does not happen to you today, tomorrow, and really for the rest of your life. You're past the point where it's up to mom and dad, it's up to your teacher, it's up to your professor. Now it's your responsibility. And when we look at having an awesome rest of your life, where do we start? It starts with these steps. And my goal in this talk is to share with you the things that teachers, coaches, parents typically don't tell you. And one of the first things they don't tell you is you need to identify who you are and what makes you happy. If you don't know what makes you happy, how are you going to go do it? Right? And that's important. In understanding who you are, understanding what makes you happy, understanding what doesn't make you happy, understanding the things you really don't want to do with your life will prevent you from getting a job and a career in a field where from day one you're counting the days to retirement, right? So you really have to understand who you are and what makes you happy. And, you know, what is your goal? What makes you happy? And then what's your goal? What does it mean? What are you going to do the rest of your life? What are you going to do when you graduate? What are you going to do before you graduate? Responsibility is yours to start to decide those things. After you've kind of identified the things that make you happy, things that don't make you happy, the stuff you don't want to do, this is probably the most important thing that you can take care of. And it's not popular to say this, and it could seem crude, rude, or whatever, but if you're fat in your 20s, you're going to be fatter in your 30s, and you're probably going to be legitimately approaching obese in your 40s, and you're probably going to be unhealthy, and you're going to be sick, and you're going to be whatever. And that's going to impact your quality of life and whether or not you're going to be happy. And at this point, at this stage, late teens, early 20s, this is no longer an option. Like, you have to be active. You have to exercise. It's not so much we have to do it for sport. It's not so much we have to do it for a bodybuilding contest, look good in a bikini on a beach. Now this is becoming something that you have to do. And if you don't make that investment in yourself via exercise, there will be things in life that you don't get to participate in. And your quality of life will not be what it could be. Money. The crazy thing is, money is like the ultimate scoreboard. It determines whether you're successful or not. It determines what you can afford. It determines how much cash is in the bank. It determines size of house you can buy, the type of car you can buy, and everything else. But money isn't everything. And ironically, if you don't understand what makes you happy and you're not doing the things that make you happy for a career, you're probably not going to make much money. In regards to money, at this age, it's your responsibility. You have to learn to become a good steward of your capital. You've got to be good with your money. So what does that mean? If you don't have it, don't spend it. If you already did via this, sell something and pay it off. Credit cards give you access to leverage. What is leverage? Leverage is like a big stick that lets you lift a weight that you otherwise couldn't. In the case of credit, if you're a small business owner, leverage means you can borrow money to expand your operations. Leverage means that you can borrow money to hire additional staff. That's putting credit to work in the form of leverage. At your age, if you're financing a good time at Fatty's at 19 or 20% interest because you're spending what you don't have on these, and you're doing that today at 21, 22 years of age, you're going to be in trouble by the time you're 30. So if you're using these to pay for a good time, sell something. Those shoes you have in the closet you don't wear that are trendy and you bought them because they were trendy and your feet hurt when you wear them, sell them. Get on Marketplace, get on Garage Sale, get on Poshmark, get on any of the apps and sell something and get rid of the credit cards. Same thing with loans. Like, loans should be something that we leverage the power of other people's money to get ahead. whether it's completing your bachelor's education or borrowing money to do a startup, borrowing money to buy a home, that's fine, but you need to be able to pay it back. If you can't pay it back, don't borrow the money. You're going to dig a hole that you'll never get out of. So if it ain't for the money, who knows these guys, right? This should be in all of your wheelhouse, right? You guys know who Jimmy is in the top right picture? Jimmy Donaldson, right? Mr. Beast? Did you guys know this? Last year. That B stands for billions. That dude said no to $1 billion for the Mr. Beast brand. So tying this back to why I started out with understanding what makes you happy, what you are not happy doing, Jimmy Donaldson never started out his YouTube channel to make money. He didn't say, I'm going to get a degree in media, communications, or anything else, and then I'm going to build a YouTube channel to make money. Jimmy said, this YouTube stuff's kind of cool. I think I'm going to do some videos with my friends. And look it. Nobody talks about this, but if you're going to be great at what you do, you're going to be happy doing it. There are very, very few really successful people that aren't doing the things that make them happy. Because you can't. You won't do the work that's required. And Mr. Beast is probably the best example. The dude said no to $1 billion. What does he have? He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a factory. He doesn't have thousands of employees. He's got a YouTube channel. He said no to $1 billion. Got to know what makes you happy. This is the classic what middle class America is told. Get a degree. Get a job that pays well with benefits. Make a bunch of money. And be miserable and count the days till you retire. There's a better way. Example of that. This is like, who here wants to work in fitness? Anybody? What are the rest of you going to do? Nothing? If you want to work in fitness, this is how you can make the most money in the fitness industry right here. It's not Group X. It's not classes. People won't pay for classes. Classes are free. Every YMCA fitness center offers free classes. Group training makes a stupid amount of money. That's the most profitable service you can sell in the fitness industry. I had a consult with a business development client. She currently runs a gym. She's not the owner. She runs it. And there's a separate issue when you're not the owner and you're supposed to be making decisions for a business that you don't have the ability to make decisions for. I shared with her the model to do this, like literally make it rain cash. And we're on a Zoom call, and she looks like this. Now her job is to make more money in the club. If the club makes more money, she makes more money. She should be super happy, right? She should be sitting there in the Zoom call like, really, this is all I got to do? And I'm like, yes, this is all you got to do. This is the path to $35,000, $40,000 a month in revenue for selling personal training in the form of group training. She should be like this, and she's not. So we talk a little bit further. What she's doing ain't making her happy. She's not real happy about it. She's not real enthused. Even though that carrot, the money is dangling out there, so all she got to do is make more money for the health club, she makes more money. She's got a great base, and she's got a pretty nice compensation via a commission structure. But she starts talking about some things she wants to do in the coaching and training space, and literally in the blink of an eye, we went from her looking like she hated life and was miserable to it was 4th of July, birthday, and Christmas all rolled into one. She looked like this, okay? And I'm like, okay, now we have something. Let's talk more about this. So I helped her build out for herself what makes her happy in the form of a coaching and training business, and within 2 weeks, she had online clients paying her money, and she's happy. She's still got to do the full-time job for a little while, running somebody else's club, but she's not happy doing it, and it was written all over her face in our Zoom call. Your career. All of you guys want to go get that piece of paper, right? I got bad news for you. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to care once you have it. I got my degree. I was super excited. I got my first job. And about 2 weeks into my job, I took a half a day off and I came over here to Altgeld because I graduated from NIU in the building next door, the engineering building. I went and paid like $25 for an official copy of my college transcripts, thinking work needed to see them. Brought them into work, went into the director of sales office, said, here, he's like, what's this? I'm like, it's a copy of my official transcripts. He's like, what for? And I'm like, don't you need it? And he's like, you graduated, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, we don't need that. I'm like, come on, man, seriously? He's like, yeah, no, we don't need that. At the end of the day, nobody really cares that you have a degree. However, the degree is like an admission ticket. Who's been to Great America? A water park, a movie theater, a concert, a football game, a baseball game. You don't get in if you don't have a ticket, right? You got to have a ticket. No ticket, no ride. If you have a degree, so if you finish your degree work, the first thing you get asked when you apply for a job is, do you have a degree? Yes, they go on to the next question. Who's here has bought a car and had to finance it? What's like the first thing they ask? Do you have a college degree? Years of education. So you got to get the ticket. And if you have the ticket, when they ask those questions and you say yes, they just go on to the next one. If you say no, then they start asking all kinds of other questions. So you got to have a ticket to get into the park or they're not going to let you on the rides, which you guys are in the process of doing. If your resume looks like this, throw it out and start over. Now I'm going to get in trouble for saying some of the things, but I'm going to tell you guys the way it is. Stay the hell out of career planning and placement and the resume writing people over there that have you write resumes that look like every other person that writes a resume. When I used to hire for engineering jobs, I'd get a few dozen resumes, and I would do two things. One, I would take all the 4.0 people, and they go right in the garbage. When you're hiring engineers, if they got a 4.0, they're typically social idiots, and they're going to offend, upset, and everybody that the company, or they're going to be so introverted, they're going to be like a rock. They're not going to talk. The next thing I did was, okay, well, whose resume looks different? What's going to give me attention? And I have a stack of 30, 40 resumes. I'm trying to find out, can't interview everybody. How can I whittle this down to a manageable number? How do they look different? So find a way to make your resume stand out. Find a way to make it stand out. Don't go to career planning and placement and let them tell you to write a resume that looks like every other kid in this class, because y'all are going to look the same. You need to find a way to make yourself stand out. In addition to making yourself stand out, you need to write your resume in a way that says, I did this and this was the outcome, right? Show what you've done that's provided value. What's the title of this class? Do you guys know? It's KNPE, probably in a number, but what's the name of it? Field Experience in Kinesiology. Do not put Field Experience in Kinesiology on your resume. That provides no value to the person reading the resume. What you need to have on there is, I did this and this was the outcome. And you need to do it in a way that says, this is how I made other organizations better, which means I have skills, and I have skills that are valuable to you, potential employer. And that's how it works. Like, people with skills are the carrot on the left. People with degrees, no work experience, no skills, write a resume that looks like everybody else's resume. They list the classes they had. I know how to use Microsoft Office. I know how to create a PowerPoint. Junk. I want the big carrot. So make sure when you get to the point that you're starting to write a resume, make the resume look different. And ideally, you should have some experience to put on that resume that is going to be attractive to a prospective employer, which for a lot of you, they're required to do an internship, right? For a lot of you, that means get an internship and go get some skills. I owned a large commercial health club here in DeKalb, and our interns participated. They didn't spectate. They worked 40 hours a week. They had 2 weeks onboarding. We got them certified at my cost. They paid nothing. And within that first month, they were running training just like my full-time trainers were. And the goal was to load them up with experience. So when they graduated, they had that internship from my club, they had that big carrot. Not just, I took these classes. So you got to be able to provide value. Who here is going to be a stretch, because most of y'all, it's going to be like 15 years ago or more. Who here remembers if they could count to 10 in kindergarten? Everybody? I know some of you might have struggled like I did. Like, I think I got to 7, 8, and I couldn't go any further. Everybody could count to 10 in kindergarten, right? This is why, who here wants to be a personal trainer? who here works as a trainer. Counting reps, counting to 10, we just all agreed a kindergartner can count to 10. As a trainer or a coach, going 1, 2, 3 on the reps provides no value. That's no value to an organization. Now, mind you, most clubs, most facilities, that's what the trainers do, and that's why the trainers don't make any money, and that's why most trainers last a year, year and a half, and then they have to go get another job because they never make any money. So you guys need to learn how you can provide value, and ideally, you find a way to provide value doing the things that make you happy. And if training and coaching makes you happy, then find a way to over-deliver on the value side of it. The other thing, who in here plays sports actively? Are NIU athletes? So you guys are already doing this. You guys already have something on your resume that's marketable and valuable. I know this because I had a number of D1 former scholarship athletes work for me. You guys already have stuff on your resume that provides value. For the rest of you, if you want to work in the fitness space, go find something to compete in. Go find something to compete in and learn from the process. Go do a 5K, learn from the process, a 10K, learn from the process, a bodybuilding contest, powerlifting meet, learn from the process. Go do a CrossFit competition, learn from the process. Doing those things gives you the value that's going to be marketable to a potential employer. The athletes already have that. And the athletes, you guys play football? So you guys have it at scale. Like you're at a decent size MAC conference Division I program. You got scholarship athletes. So you're getting the whole kit and caboodle. These guys have an unfair advantage in the experience department. I'll also tell you that these guys also have an unfair work ethic that they've had since high school, which is why they're sitting here as Division I scholarship athletes. They're different. Expect to make it happen when it comes time to look for a job. Expect to have to pick up the telephone. Some of you never even used one of those or seen one of those. It's kind of like you pick up the thing with the cord and you turn the dial and you dial the number. That's how we used to have to make phone calls. And an example that I shared before the class started, across the hall in a classroom, I came in to speak probably, if I had to guess, 2010 or 11. And I said, who in here made more than $10 an hour last summer? Two hands went up. One of the kids did construction over the summer. I don't remember what the other one did. And I said, listen, if you want to make more than $10 an hour, go get certified as a trainer. And then pick up the phone and find a place that needs trainers. By the way, I own a gym. It's about 3 minutes that way. You get certified, you pick up the phone, you call me, and we'll talk about if I have a job. So whatever, class went on. A week and a half later, I get a phone call from this kid named Henry. Henry's sitting in the class. Henry says, hey, I was in that class. You said, make more than 10 bucks an hour, get certified. I got certified, so do you have a job? And I'm like, no, we're not hiring. I don't have anything. I said, however, if you come in, you fill out an application, bring me a resume. So y'all should have resumes at this point. Bring me your resume showing me things that you have done for others. You know, don't list your classes. I did this. This was the outcome. I'll keep it. And when we have an opportunity, you can interview for it. So he showed up like that day. He's dressed nice. Don't show up like a slob. Like you come into the gym looking for a gym job and you're wearing workout clothes, hit the bricks, pal. I ain't got room for you. Come in looking professional. So he does. He looks good. He's got a resume. He's got the application that I emailed him, whatever. And I'm like, all right, great. A week later, a trainer that I had working for me full time quit. So I called Henry. Henry started working for me full time. Henry finished his bachelor's degree here. Henry got his master's degree here. Somebody might have had him as a graduate assistant here. Henry gets married. So we're years down the road. I'm at his wedding. His dad comes up to me and says, hey, I want to thank you. And I'm like, for what? He's like, we gave my kid a job. And I'm like, well, in fairness, your kid's a good kid. He works hard. He's like, no. He goes, you spoke to his class and you said, and he gets this certification, you'd hire him. I'm like, well, I didn't say I would hire anybody, but I said somebody would. He's like, well, nonetheless, I want you to know that my son graduated with zero college debt. And he didn't play a sport like these guys. He didn't have any. He paid off all his student loans before he graduated. He worked for me full time through his bachelor's, through his master's, and he worked for her. And he graduated with a bachelor's and a master's with no college debt. And a shit ton of real world experience working with people age 5 to age 90. All because he did what I said, and then he picked up the phone, he took action, and he made it happen for himself. And if I had to do the math on that 10 bucks an hour, I mean, I know what I paid him, and this would have been over 10 years ago. He's getting $22.50, $23 an hour for me. He made a lot more money than he would have if he would have just went and did what most college kids at that point would have done, not gotten certified or whatever. So expect to make it happen. As you're looking at what makes you happy, you're looking at the things you enjoy, start identifying who's doing what you want to do. Where do they work? Who do they work for? Who's their boss? And build a database. First name, last name, phone, email, social, and reach out to them. We had a kid played college baseball. He trained with us when I owned my club. Came home and stopped in, wanted to see us at the gym. I said, hey, how's it going? He said, oh, it's going pretty good. And I'm like, well, how's school? What are you going to school for? He's like, actually, he goes, I'm going for journalism. I'm going to be a sports reporter. I'm like, hey, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, but it's going to be hard to get into that. I'm like, here, why don't you do this? Make a list of the top 10 sportscasters on TV. I don't do ball sports. I like stuff that makes noise and goes fast, and I like lifting weights. After that, I'm out. So I won't know who any of the talking heads were on ESPN, but he did. He made a list of 10 people, and I said, email them and say, hey, my name's Jordan. I play college baseball. I like what you do. I want to get into doing what you're doing. What advice do you have? So we did, made the list, reached out, 10 people. One guy said, contact me next summer. We'll talk about getting you an internship. Who's doing what you want to do? Where do they work? Who's their boss? Build your database and start getting on the phone, reaching out to them, sending emails, make it happen. And this is a big one. Who here likes sales? Nobody. Who here remembers debating, bargaining with mom or dad about staying up later? Can I just go to so-and-so's house for a little while? Can I have the Doritos? Can we go to McDonald's? I want a Happy Meal. Can we have pizza for dinner tonight, right? Every one of you have done that, yet you don't like sales. Who are you kidding? Everybody's in sales. All of us. All of us are in sales. Get comfortable with it. Because even if you don't want to be a salesperson as a job, if you want to go get a job, you have to be good at selling yourself. No one's going to do it for you. And you've been doing it your entire life. Everyone in this room has done it their entire life. On a daily basis. Learn to get comfortable in the uncomfortable. The opportunities outside of complacency. The opportunities on the other side of you being comfortable. Anybody know, you guys know who that guy is? You don't. What do they call the last guy drafted in the draft for the NFL? Say it again, in the back. That's Mr. Irrelevant right there. That's Chandler Harnish. He played football here. He played quarterback. He was kind of pretty good. I don't know. He went to the NFL. That's Chandler in my old gym with a signed football from one of the games that Chandler quarterbacked in, doing a video for me for my gym. As you guys go through life, you need to build relationships and you need to maintain them. So the maintaining relationships are things that allow you to have a Chandler Harnish come back when you're training young athletes. Like, we trained over 1,000 athletes, 100 collegiate athletes, and I've trained about 30 professional athletes at this point. Maintaining that relationship is like putting money in a piggy bank. The day you need the money out of the piggy bank, you want to be able to go break it open. There needs to be money there. If you don't maintain the relationships, you can't go break the piggy bank open and find $100 bills. So that's what I did with Chandler. Now, I screwed up prior to that. Who here knows who PJ Fleck is? You guys, anybody else? PJ Fleck, kind of a big deal. Coaches a program over at Minnesota, played in the NFL. Coach was at Western Michigan. Pretty good team. Broncos, right? PJ Fleck is the first professional athlete I ever worked with. And before I moved my health club, expanded it, and added this training facility for young athletes, he contacted me and he said, hey, man, he goes, I have a non-for-profit near you in the Caneland area. We're going to do stuff over the summer with kids. I want to get you involved. I said, yeah, all right. He said, just reach out to me at the end of spring, and we'll figure out how we can work in. I'm like, great. And I never did. So I didn't put any money in that piggy bank, and now I got this facility where we're going to train kids, And PJ Fleck is all over the news. And if I had maintained that relationship, I could have called him up and he probably would have come and done something at my facility with me. So you got to maintain those relationships. I'll give you another example because I don't know if we'll get to the slide at the end. A student who got his bachelor's degree in this program, he's got his 2 years from Kishwaukee Community College, he got his 4 year from here, and today he's a medical doctor, and he got his MD from the University of Illinois. He was like my protege. He came up to me, he was like 16, wanted to work out at the gym. I said, great. He's like, I want to train with you. I'm like, fantastic. I lift weights at 5 a.m. It's my workout. We do what I want. If you don't show up at 5, you ain't training. Don't come in here and say we should try chest today. Don't come in here and say, I think we should try this exercise. It's my program. I said, you're going to ride my bus or you ain't riding. So we did. And he said, I want to be a personal trainer. I'm like, that's a bad idea. Like, you make money short term. You should be a physical therapist. He's all right, I want to be a physical therapist. I'm like, you know what, dude? You should be a doctor. I said, but you don't come from a family of doctors. And you're probably going to the community college. So you're going to need to have off the chart work ethic. You're going to have to outwork everybody on the planet. And if you're going to come in and train with me, you're going to get the work ethic in the gym. You're going to do some scary shit. You're going to go under a bar that's going to be bent on the J-hooks and the rack before you unrack it. You're probably going to see God. And if you can do that, you can get the work ethic. You can go do anything. So he did, and he got into med school. I introduced him to the few doctors that I knew at the time, and then I beat him over the head. And to this day, when he calls, I'm going to say, have you talked to Dr. Perry? Have you talked to Doc Tilton? And if he says no, he's going to get for like 7.5 minutes, why the hell aren't you maintaining those relationships? So that the day you need the money out of the piggy bank, that money's in the bank. This one's easy. Like, every customer understands clean, neat, and organized. At my gym, my personal trainers wear shirts like this and they wear khaki pads. They didn't dress like they were going to work out. Why? Who here has been to physical therapy? What do the therapists wear? Exactly. Physical therapy is expensive. Exactly. Physical therapists are professionals. Exactly. You walk into my club, you see professionals. Everybody understands clean, neat, and organized. No matter what you guys go and do, everybody understands clean, neat, and organized. They're not going to understand that we could drop 0.2 in the 40-yard dash. We had 250,000 athletes' data to prove it. They won't understand what we do can do that, but when they walk in, they're going to understand clean, neat, and organized. So don't look like a bum. Learn to be an effective communicator. Even if you're a total introvert, you got to work on that. Everything you'll do, you're going to do with people at some level. Even if it's digitally, remotely, from home, from your apartment, whatever, you have to be good at communications. Hands down, the hardest thing in the world is answer that question. The hardest. This is the hardest test you will ever take. You don't believe me? Today, go home, get a blank piece of paper and a pen, and answer that question. I want to what? Most people, as soon as we ask that question, we start thinking about what everybody else wants us to do. What I led the discussion with today is happiness isn't part of it. Like, that's so drowned out by what your parents want you to do, what your girlfriend thinks you should do, what your older brother thinks you should do because he didn't get to do. This is hard. I used to have all my young employees do that, and most of them wouldn't. I'd be like, look, you should sit down and do this. And they'd be like, that's too hard. Well, life is hard. Like, you're probably not going to be very happy the rest of it. You guys know who these three people are? I don't either. They're time. That's time. And time is coming in and stealing from you as you're sitting here today. The longer it takes you to figure out what makes you happy and what you really want to do with the rest of your life, the longer it takes you to build that list of people doing the things that you want to do, the longer it takes you to reach out and contact those people doing those things, the more these three are going to steal from you every day, every day. I had a radio show for 2.5 years. People would call in, ask weight loss questions. I'd be like, you should have started yesterday. Starting today is already late. Like, time is going to continue to steal from you the rest of your life. And at various points, you're going to be presented with they only come around once opportunities. Don't miss them. And then keep this in mind. Like, if you want to change, you will have to take a chance. There's no guarantees. None. Like, what positions you guys play? Neither of you are safety. Really? The coach even consider you boys for that? So what happens? Like, if you don't take a chance and stick your neck out there, what happens to the quarterback? his ass gets creamed. He's a smudge on the turf. Like, you have to, like, if you want to change, you want to move forward, you want to accomplish anything, you're going to have to take a chance. And again, this is where the be comfortable being uncomfortable. This is probably the biggest thing. And today, and I talked to this about this, a lot of my business owning friends, some of my professor friends, today everybody goes and gets a job. Nobody is told to go be an entrepreneur. And entrepreneurship typically represents a significant risk and a lot of chance and a lot of gamble and a lot of getting outside of your comfort zone. A lot of phone calls with your dad that go like this. Why the hell can't you be happy to get off of work, go to the tavern, drink a bunch of beers with your buddies and go home? I don't know, Dad, but I just quit another great paying job because I'm going to give this entrepreneur thing a shot. There's no rules the rest of your life. It's Plato, right? You can make of it anything you want. It's up to you. It's up to you. But you have to be willing to do some of the things I talked about today. Otherwise, do you know what's in your future? A J-O-B job. And this, now these folks are happy, and I'm going to guess these folks own their own business. And it's probably that restaurant they're sitting in. But typically, most people that get a J-O-B job are counting the days of retirement. They can be 24 years old and be like, I only got to do this until I'm 63. What? So you're going to start living at 63? What if you're dead at 63 in one day? Come on, man. And the other thing, I'm biased towards entrepreneurship. Happy entrepreneurs never retire. Like, I don't want to retire. What I do today, I want to be doing 30 years from now. I want to be doing a lot more of it. Been making a lot more money doing it. I want to be helping more people doing it. But I really don't, I don't need to go retire. So let's chat. Who has questions? And you guys can find me here. That first email address, I say this all the time. If you've got questions today, tomorrow, down the road, you can reach out and you can ask. Some of the guys you play with, currently play with, were on the current roster last fall. They've taken advantage of that. It's up to you guys. I'll answer any and everything fitness related to the best of my ability, entrepreneurship, getting a degree, buying your first house, whatever you want. The backstory, and I put this in and I took it out. I have a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering from the building next door. I've never taken a class in this field of study. I do small business consulting, mostly in the allied health space. I own that health club. I lost over 60 pounds and have kept most of it off since 1996. Picture on the right, I did no cardio. Podcast, you can find it here. On the podcast are interviews with people doing 9 and 10 figures a year in revenue. So if you count those figures, that's tens of millions, hundreds of millions. I've been on television more than once. That's me on Channel 9. And there's a pink post-it note on the book that the host has. She didn't even read the damn book. And I'm like, we're live on TV. Am I going to correct her because she didn't read? Or what do I do? I've been on the radio. That's me and Kathy Hart. She used to be on The Mix, 101.9 on the Eric and Kathy show. I've written 4 books, promoted over 35 bodybuilding contests, done a bunch of other stuff. That's the only picture on the left of me and Paul Wright. So I bought the Wright Athletic Club, which opened in 1978 here in DeKalb, where the current Molly's and Subway are. It was in the back of that building. It was a Nautilus Center. And that was back before there were workout facilities at NIU. So if you were a student and you lifted weights, that's where you went. I badgered Paul for 5 years to sell it to me. I would take the man to lunch once a month. Paul, you gonna sell me your gym? He'd say, nope. It's all right, let's eat. Next month, Paul, you gonna sell me your gym? Nope, let's eat. And then I moved the gym in 2009, and that was a picture of our grand opening. I do one-on-one coaching for this stuff. 4 of those people did cardio. That's it. So the idea you need cardio for fat loss is complete folly. And that's for the next contest I promote. I think that's it. So that's the only time I've put slides like that in there. So questions? Anything? Yes?
What's one thing you would have done differently?
You know, I actually thought about that today, this morning. So here's the problem. Like, I'll tell you guys stuff you should be doing that I didn't do. But if I were to go back and do things different, I might not be here today. So I struggle with that, right? Because a lot of the things I did wrong are looking back like, boy, that was stupid. My God, that opportunity was missed in a major way. Well, if that opportunity wasn't missed, I wouldn't be here. But for you guys, like the biggest thing is, like I'm telling you, nobody's going to tell you this probably but me, Figure out what makes you happy and go that direction. Because happy means you'll be great in your industry. And then you can't have debt. Like I talk to business consulting clients, if they got credit card debt, they're screwed. Like they're not gonna make it. Like if you can't manage your personal credit card, what are you gonna do if the bank gives you a $40,000 or $50,000 line of credit? You know, like in or you have a corporate credit card, like I do, I can go buy a car on my credit card. Like if you can't manage a $2,000 credit card today, because you're using it to go out to dinner, to the bar, whatever, buying credits on gaming or whatever, you're going to be in trouble. So you guys have to be good stewards of your capital. You got to be good with your money. Those are the two biggest things. And I would tell myself to be better back then, but I struggle with, hey, I should have done this different. Yes.
So you're very involved in many different spectrums. How do you juggle that with being an entrepreneur? You say you have a nice schedule, but I feel like at the startup, that was obviously not
the case. So from an entrepreneur standpoint, I have too many things going on. It's better in like I spoke to a class here once and they asked me a question and it's like trying to run that way and that way at the same time. I don't move. So it compromises what I can effectively get done in one direction. But at the same time, something is different when it's not having to be at work at 7:30 to 4:30 with a half hour for lunch. I don't mind doing the work. Like I'll get up and I might start working at 6 in the morning. And I might take my kids to school at 7:45. Or today I started working and then I worked out. Then I took my dog to a physical therapy appointment. I hauled ass home and I had a Zoom meeting with a client at 10. And then I had another meeting at 11. And then I went through the PowerPoint on this and I left the house at 11:35. I got another meeting at 2. But I had the ability, like I could put this in my schedule. But it is better to find one master and serve one master at a time. Otherwise, it's like running that way. You don't move. But if I could do it, you could do it. You could probably do it better. If you're looking to get into fitness space, go get experience. When it comes time to get an internship, get an internship that's going to provide value to you. Make sure it's a win-win. Don't get an internship where you're going to show up and you're going to sit and do nothing and watch what's going on. What the hell are you gonna put on your resume? What are you gonna learn? Like I told our interns, like you're gonna spring semester, fall semester, it's 16 weeks, 40 hours a week. Yeah, my internship only requires 400 hours. Great, we're not the spot for you. But my job is to give you tools to have you better prepared for the workplace. And if you come and you spend about 40 hours a week over 16 weeks, obviously Thanksgiving could be in there, spring break, you're going to be marketable when you graduate. And you might look at, you know what? I worked with kids. I hated it. But you had this thing called Evolution Platinum where the average age is 68. I love that. I think I want to do more of that. Or you know what? This whole fitness thing sucks, and I'm not doing this. I'm going to go do something else. But that was my goal for my interns, and it should be your goal when you get to the point where you do an internship. Learn what you do and don't like, get a ton of experience. But it should be win-win. The facility should get something out of you, and you should get a bunch of marketable stuff for your resume. Don't just pick one that's easy so you get the credit for the internship. That's a waste. The wrong way to do it. How many people want to do training? Again, coaching? Who here is getting this degree and they don't want to do fitness? There's probably one of you. All right, right on. Who's gonna? Are there PE students like to teach?
I was thinking.
How many of you don't want to do physical therapy? How many of you that want to do physical therapy have shadowed at a physical therapy place? There we go. Giddy up. Good. Keep doing that stuff. What's everybody else want to do? If you're not gonna do PE teacher, you're not gonna do PT, you don't want to be a coach or a trainer. What do you want to do? Yes?
Chiropractor.
All right, that's cool. Have you talked to any chiropractors?
I have chiropractors in my family, so yeah, I guess so, but outside of that, I'm not really.
Right on. That's a good path. I looked at doing that at one point. Solid. Anybody else have anything that's completely unrelated or different? Selfishly, I want to learn something. If so. Well, I'll hang out. If you guys have questions, you want to come up, happy to do so. You can write that down. You can send me an email. The second email address I do get, but I never check it. That one's all automated, but the first one is the one I use primarily. Cool. Well, thank you guys for letting me come speak.
If you like our content, be sure to subscribe to our channel, leave us a comment below. Also, be sure to check us out on your favorite podcast provider.